Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the top of Daf Chof Beis. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Kinyonim al otzitz nokuv v'yesh boi zroim. Kinyonim is a reference to means of acquisition of a flower pot with a hole in it, and it has plants growing in it. In halachic terms, a flower pot itself is considered a portable. Plants that are growing in it are considered karka. In effect, it's as if they're attached to the ground. The means of acquisition for portables is different than the means of acquisition of karka. With that general background in mind, we turn to the Gemara. Number one, otzitz shel echod uzroim shel acher. Imagine the flower pot belongs to one, and the plants belong to someone else. Mochar bal otzitz lebal zroim. If the owner of the flower pot sells it to the owner of the plants, kevan shemoshach kona. Once the owner of the plants draws the flower pot, brings it toward himself, that is a means of acquisition. Mochar bal zroim lebal otzitz, if the owner of the plants were to sell the plants to the owner of the flower pot, in which those very plants are growing, lo kona ad sheyachzik bezroim. The owner of the flower pot doesn't acquire the plants until he is machzik bezroim. What does that mean to be machzik bezroim? So Rashi says on the second line from the top, Ach yachzik bizroim, otzitz havitolush, umikni b'mishicha. The flower pot itself is not attached. It's therefore considered a portable, and it's acquired through mishicha, drawing it unto yourself. Zroim havi mechuborim. The plants are considered attached. V'dinon kekarka, v'niknin b'kesef b'shtar b'chazoka. And they are acquired like real estate, through money payment, a contract, or chazaka. V'yad shiyachzik, what does that mean until he does a chazaka on the plants? Kagon denikesh o ider, he would either weed out or till the soil. Tehavio chazaka. Ubelo yohiv mos kamarin. We're talking about a case where no money was paid. The yohiv zuzi, if money was paid, if the person acquiring the plants paid, then mikni bekesef, acquisition would take place through money. So in the absence of a money payment for the plants growing in the flower pot, if the owner of the flower pot wants to acquire the plants, if he turns over the soil, or if there are other weeds growing in there and he pulled them out, that would be a means of acquisition. We continue in the Gemara, case 2, Otzitz uzroim shel echod umochron li'acher. The flower pot and the plants belong to one person, and he is selling them to someone else. Hichzik bizroim, if you make a kinyan on the zroim, on the plants. Now, again, the plants have a din, have the status of real estate. The kinyan that you make on the plants, we've mentioned before, the nichesh, or the eder, the weeding out, or the tilling of the soil. you get together with that action kana otzitz. You acquire the otzitz as well. Vezuhi shishoninu, and it's based on the following that this is learned out. What does it say in the source? The chosim she'ein lohem achrayas. That is an expression you find throughout the Shas, which, without translating it, it means portables. Those are nechosim she'ein lamachrayas. Niknim im nechosim she'yesh lamachrayas. That's another phrase, and you probably can guess what it means. It's a reference to real estate. So that portables can be acquired together with the real estate. Bekesev shtar v'chazaka. That means if you make do a means of acquisition, you acquire real estate together with the action of acquisition, either money payment, writing a contract, or a chazaka, the actions that we described earlier. Together with the real estate, if the seller is transferring also portables, you get the portables along with the kinyan that you do on the real estate. Even though portables in and of themselves require meshicha, you don't need to do meshicha once you are doing the kinyan on the ground or on the real estate itself. You get along with it the portables. Hichzik be'otzitz. If, however, a kinyan was done on the otzitz, Rashi says hichzik be'otzitz v'lo moshchoi liknois. You did some kind of action to the otzitz itself without drawing it. In other words, let's say you left the otzitz in its place and you sanded it down a little bit, or you painted on it. You did some action to the flower pot itself without drawing it. Af otzitz lo kona. You don't acquire even the otzitz ad she yachzik bizroim until you do a kinyan chazoka on the plants. We continue more with issues of flower pots, and in this case we have a topic heading: Boser noif or boser shurish legabi trumas umaisus baotzitz nokuv. When you have a flower pot, let's say on the border of Israel, plants growing in Israel have sets of laws that apply to them that don't apply to plants growing outside of Israel. As is everything, there's a border line. In this case, we're going to describe a plant that is whose branches are in one place and its roots are somewhere else. And imagine a flower pot that has a plant growing in with branches over one location and roots coming out of the hole in another location. So now the Gemara. Nukvoi baretz v'nofo b'chutzlaretz. The whole of the flower pot is in Eretz Yisrael. The branches of the plant are over chutzlaretz. Abaye Omar. Bosar nikvoy azlinon. In order to determine the status of the plants regarding tithing laws, halachas that are totally baretz, in this case you'll go according to where the hole is located. So in the example we had now, we had the hole was over Eretz Yisrael. The hole was in Eretz Yisrael. That means these plants that are growing on branches that are in Chutzlaretz will have the din of plants growing in Eretz Yisrael. You'll have to tie them and whatever else applies to laws of plants growing in Eretz Yisrael. Rova Omar Bosor Nofo Azlinon. No, he says you go according to where it is, where the branches are. Bidashrush Kuyama Lopligi. If the plant we just described growing in a flower pot with a hole in it had roots coming from the bottom that took root in the soil of Eretz Israel, then there is no question that the plant, even though the branches are over Chutzlaretz, the plants would have the mitzvahs of Eretz Israel. It would be considered an Eretz Israel plant. Ki pligi bedolo ashush. The machlokas between Abaye and Rava comes up when it hasn't taken root. The Gemara now asks a question. You'll see we have some markings on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading. The triangle appears, and they represent two kushios. Al ha de kova ha Gemara. Questions based on what the Gemara established. Dim hushush kuliyama lo pligi the ozninun bozer shoresh. That if it took root, then everyone agrees the plant, if it took root in Eretz Yisrael, the plant is determined by where the roots are, and therefore you'll have to tithe the fruits growing from the plant, even though the branches are over chutz laretz. Ubida ashush lo pligi. Is that really so? That if the plants took root, there is no machlokes. V'hotanan shte ginois zu al gavzu. Imagine two gardens in a terrace fashion. There's an illustration that we have on the side of the Gemara. An upper garden, a gan ilyon, and a lower garden, a gan tachton. This is, of course, is a cross-section view. You're looking at it from the side. And you might notice a plant drawn into the picture, its roots growing into the upper garden, and the branch with the fruits on it overshadowing the lower garden. V'yerek beintayim. There is vegetation between the two gardens. Rabbi Meir Omer Shel Elyon. Rabbi Meir says that the plants, the fruits, belong to the upper one. Why? He looks at where the roots are. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shel Tachton. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't look at where the roots are, he looks at where the branches are. So how was it said earlier that where it takes root, everyone agrees that you go according to where the roots are, when here you have something that took root, and there still is a machlokas, whether you follow the roots or you follow the branches, where it overshadows. The Gemara says that is no objection to what Rava said, because Hasam Kidiktoni Taimo. There, in the case of the gardens, there is a stated reason for the machlokas. Amar Rabbi Meir, Ma im Yirtze. Rabbi Meir was the first opinion who says that you go according to the upper one, the upper garden, because if he wanted to, Ma im Yirtze Elyon Litol Es Afro, if he wanted to excavate his garden, remove the dirt, dig out all the dirt, in Kanyerek, if he were to excavate his garden, he would be getting rid of the plant altogether by just grabbing onto the plant from the roots that are growing under his upper garden. So there'd be nothing left. So that's why it's determined by the roots in that case. And Omar Rebbe Yehuda, Ma'im Yirtze HaTachton, Lemalos Es Ginosu Ofrein Kanyerek. If the lower garden would want to pile up mounds of dirt and increase, we'll say, the level of his lower garden so much so that it would just keep, it would rise and include the vegetation in the dirt that he is importing, there would be no plant left. The fruits would be buried. So he is in control. So therefore, to try to illustrate that the issue of Bosu Shurish or Bosu Nof is a machlokis from the case of the two ginos is, we'll say, inappropriate. We're analyzing something that was, we'll say, as of a halachic nature more so than a purely physical consideration. So therefore, Rava feels that if the plant which was sitting close to the border, but the roots are growing in Eretz Yisrael and the branches are over Chutz Laretz, it would have a din of an Eretz Yisrael plant. The Gemara asks, V'akati b'da ashrush lo pligi? Again, we have a question. Notice we have a long question marking. Is that really so that when it takes root, there's no machlokes v'atanya? Ilon miktsoso boretz u miktsoso b'chutz laretz. a tree that's on the border, growing part in Eretz Yisrael and part in Chutz Laretz. Tevel v'chulin m'uravin ze bozeh, divrei Rebbe. When you take any fruit off the tree, the fruit is considered mixed with chulin. Chulin is the status of that which grows in Chutz Laretz. Tevel is a reference to untithed produce. That's a reference to produce that grows in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi across from here says Tevel v'chulin m'uravin ze bozeh, ein l'cha peri be'ilon hazeh she'en miksosu min aretz shu tevel u'miksosu michutz laretz shu chulin. The nutrition, the sustenance of this tree, since it's growing on the border, is sustenance that is due to a mixing of Eretz Yisrael earth and Chutz Laretz earth. The nafkamina, the practical halachic outcome of describing the fruits as being mixed with chulin and tevel, she'ein ma'asrin mitevel vadei olov. You can't exempt these fruits by tithing from other pure tevel, because that would be dehavi min achiyuv al ha'poter v'lo mimenu al tevel vadei. There is an objection in halacha to trying to exempt from tithes using produce that itself is obligated in tithing, to exempt produce that really isn't obligated. That's called min hachiyuv al hapoter, nor the other way around. They have to be, we'll say, of like nature. If I want to exempt tevel, untithed produce, from its requirements, I want to exempt it, I want to potter it, I have to tithe from other like tevel. Let's continue in the source. Rav Shmuel Amiel Oimer, Hagodel b'chiyuv chayev, Hagodel b'ftur poter. That which grows in a state of obligation, that which grows on, we'll say, the Eretz Yisrael side, is chayev. That which grows b'ftur on the Chutz Laretz side is exempt. My lav. Is it not so that we're dealing with the following miktsas noifei baretz u miktsas noifei b'chutz laretz? Part of the branches are in Eretz Yisrael, part of the branches are in Chutz Laretz. And here the main point is not in the words, but the assumption is even though all of the roots are in either Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz. What do we see then in this source? We said, even though all the roots are in one location, either Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Laretz, nevertheless, we're still putting a premium on the branches. The Gemara says, lo, that is not the assumption to make in analyzing this source. And once again, in order to make this a question, we have to make the assumption that all the roots are in one place or the other, and nevertheless, that's not the determining factor. In order to undo this as a question, we simply say that all of the roots were not in one location. Rather, lo, miktsas shoroshav baretz, miktsas shoroshav b'chutz laretz. The roots were actually split, part in Eretz Yisrael and part in Chutz Laretz. Umay taimo d'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. If that's the case, so what is the explanation of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? And in order to appreciate this, we look at Rashi just a couple lines down from here. My time of the Rabban Shimon, Mahu Hagodel B'chiyuv Chayev. What do you mean by that which grows in obligation is obligated? V'alo hayeniko shel shroshim malis sraf b'chol ha'pri v'shor she eiver zeh malim sraf l'pri shebe eiver zeh. When you have roots that are fanned out, part in Chutz Laretz and part in Eretz Yisrael, as the nutrients go up the tree into the fruits, there's a mixture of the nutrients. So that, how can you describe any fruit as being that which is purely in Eretz Yisrael is chayev, that which is purely in Chutz Laretz is in Chutz Laretz? What do you mean, a fruit that's exclusively this or that? Is it not so that the yenika of the roots mixes as it goes up into the tree and eventually into the fruits? The Gemara says, no, there is no mixture. Demafsik tsunama. Tsunama is rock, so that the roots are split between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz with the rock, bedrock, or Rashi says, Shein Sela Mavdil Be'emsa Shroshim Afsikin Ana Geza. There is rock that appears underground, splitting these roots, and the rock is reaches the bottom of the trunk of the tree. Therefore, you don't have yanika from one side to the other. Well, if it's mafsik tsunama, then my time of the Rebbe. What's the explanation for Rebbe that said tevel and chulin are muravin zebaza, that they're mixed one with the other? The Gemara answers the hadri arvi. Rashi says shehaetz min hagezo mala sholem. The tree from the base of the trunk upwards is complete, and therefore the nutrients, when they rise from the roots into the trunk of the tree, they mix there. But my komifli, what's the underlying point of machokas between Rebbe and Reb Shmuel Gamliel? Mor savar avira mevalbel. Rebbe holds that avira means above ground, there is mixture. Rashi says, mor savar avira mevalbel, afal pi shekol ma sheyesh min hashoshim bekaka having moved all, even though everything that's subterranean is split. Since when you reach surface and above, they are not split anymore. There is a mixture of nutrients taking place above ground. Umar Sobrev Shmuel says, that since at the root level, or just underground level, they were totally split from one another because of the rock, there is no mixture taking place, no nutrient mixture taking place above ground. So at this point in the Gemara, then, we are responding and defending Rava's claim that if the roots are in one location, even though the branches may be in another location, the determining factor is going to be where the roots are. As far as the Machlokas Rebbe and Shmuel Gamliel is concerned, so we describe that as a Machlokas as to whether Avira Mevalbel or not. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer v'chulei, Omar Rabbi Fia bar Asi of Mishmei de'ula. Before we go further, we want to note on the side a nosei / mivne heading. There is a diamond marking that you'll see, and they represent gimel shlovim shel hachonas, or three stages in the preparation of skins. And we're talking about skins in their eventuality as becoming parchment. There's a double underline marking, V'chol echod yesh loy nafkemina lohitzoas Shabbos. Each stage of parchment preparation has a different practical application to the laws of Hotzoas Shabbos. The law of Hotzoas Shabbos involves the transference of an item from one domain to another. In order for one to be in violation of Hotzoas on Shabbos, he has to do Hotzoas, he has to transfer an item that has a minimum amount of significance. Kol Echod im Shiur Miuchad. Each one, each stage in the parchment preparation, we're then going to be dealing with skins, animal skins that haven't been fully processed, but nevertheless, there is a use for them at each given stage of the processing, and therefore, there will be a Hoitzoas Shabbos, a Shiur Hoitzoas Shabbos, different for each stage. This discussion, of course, is coming on the heels of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's objection to a get being written on diftara. Diftara, a reference to leather or parchment at a particular stage of development. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Asi Mishmei De'ula Gimel Oirois Hain. There are three, we'll say, levels of skin or leather preparation. Matzah, Chifa, V'diftara. Matzah, Kimashmo. Matzah, in the case of preparing bread, is a reference to that which is unleavened. It has no added ingredients to it, other than basic flour and water. So using that as an analogy with regard to the tanning process, delo maliach udelo kamiach udelo ofitz. It wasn't treated with these different ingredients, which are the ingredients used for the preparation of parchment. So it wasn't kamiach, has to do with it being processed with flour. Maliach is the, we'll say, the salt stage, and ofitz is a chemical that we've made reference to before in previous sugyas, sometimes referred to as afotzim. So matzah is this very early stage where it hasn't been treated with all of these ingredients. Lamai hilchisa, for what do we need to know that there is a stage in leather preparation or in parchment preparation called matzah? Loitzoah Shabbos, there's a practical application to the realm of transferring of items on Shabbos. The kamo shi'uro, what is the minimum quantity of matzah ore, matzah skin, to be in violation of Loitzoah Shabbos? Answer, Kidekotoni Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, as Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda teaches, Kidei Lotzur Mishkal Ktana. The amount of this skin for wrapping around a small weight. Weights were made of lead, and in constant use, they can become eroded, and it would represent a false weight. If you have, let's just imagine a weight for a balance scale that's listed as a 1 pound, but it becomes eroded. So the 1 pound is still imprinted on the weight, but it really represents less than a pound. So in order to protect the weight from erosion, it was wrapped in, and here we're talking about the material it was wrapped in, this early stage of leather preparation. Now, what kind of weight are we talking about when we say that that amount would result in a chiyuv hoitzoas Shabbos, a violation of the laws of Shabbos? So that's the Gemara's question, v'kamo, and how much? Omar Abaye, ki riva de riva de pumpadisa. That's the name of the weight, the riva of pumpadisa. Pumpadisa being a place, it was a very small weight. So you can imagine that the amount of skin or leather to encompass it would be a rather small amount. Carrying that small amount of matzah skin on Shabbos would be a violation of Hoitzah Shabbos. The next one, Chifa, what is referred to here? Demoliach, it has been treated with salts. However, v'lo kamiach v'lo ofitz, but it hasn't had those additional stages. L'may hilchisa l'hoitzah Shabbos, v'kamo shiro, and how much is the amount? Kidisnan, as is taught in the following, kidei la'asos kamea, the amount of leather or skin on which through which to make an amulet. We're not going to explain that in terms of inches or millimeters, but we'll just assume that it's an accepted or known amount, enough for making an amulet. Diftara, And that should be a familiar term to us, because that's what we saw in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra objected to writing a get on diftara. What is that? It's dimaliach v'komiach. It's been processed with salting and flour, v'lo ofitz, but it hasn't been treated with afotzim. L'mai hilchisa lo itzla shabbos v'kama shiro. How much would that be? Kedei lichtiv olov es haget. Enough diftara that would be sufficient for writing upon it a divorce document. Rashi is quick to point out the idea of writing a get on diftara is in accordance with the Rabbona, not Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. But as we said earlier, the reason this discussion was brought in was because the Mishnah made reference to diftara, and that tipped off the Gemara to get into a parchment-making discussion. We continue in the Gemara. The Chachomim Machshirin. Man Chachomim, who are the Chachomim that are not concerned with the fact that writing on what we saw before in the Mishnah, Niyar Mochuk, or on Diftara, could result in tampering? So we saw that Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra was concerned that the text would be tampered with and it would go unrecognized, unknown, not undiscovered by the couple, by the woman being divorced, or by the man being divorced. There's room for tampering. So the Chachomim, though, in the Mishnah were Machshir. So the Gemara's question here in asking who are the Chachomim, we're asking who is the Shita that's not concerned with the possibility of Ziyuf, of a forgery, of tampering taking place. Just to review what we've mentioned in the past when we speak about tampering, if you had, let us say, proper first choice parchment, and it was fresh, unused, brand new parchment. If any tampering would take place, that would involve, let us say, a get with a condition written into it and signed by witnesses, and someone come along and erase the get and rewrite it without the condition in it. You would see that the get has been tampered with. That you have witnesses that signed on what we know as fresh parchment, and of the section above the signatures experienced an erasure that will raise suspicions. And yet you have a shita in the Mishnah, the Chachomim, that are machshir. Man Chachomim, who is the Chachomim that is not concerned whether it's efshel zayif? Omar Rebbe Elazar. This name is, by the way, an Amora, because we're going to make reference to Rebbe Elazar Atano in a moment, so that it's important to make this distinction. So the triangles are also, they're explained in the topic / structure heading in the margin. You see the triangles, and Rebbe Elazar the Amora is Masbir. Shahatana Shemekil Lahatir Ksivas Get Almash Roilis Dayef Hu Rebbe Elazar the Tana Di Ede Mesira Karsi Heter Ze Yeshlo Shte Hagbolot. This heter has two limitations. Rebbe Elazar the Tana is the one that said that the witnesses who see the handing over of the divorce document, they make it into a binding and effective divorce. And as such, you have Ede Mesira, they will read the get and be able to testify as to what it stated. And if there's any subsequent tampering with it, we'll be able to consult the Ede Mesira. We'll see an inverted triangle as the Gemara goes on, representing Rabbi Yochanan, who's cholek al shtei hahagbalois ha'elu, on the two limitations that we made reference to. So the question was, who is the Chachamim that says that even though the text is written on material that would allow, that would enable undiscovered tampering to transpire? So Rebbe Elazar the Amora says, we're continuing at the top line of Amud Beis, Rebbe Elazar he. This is a Vitano, Rebbe Elazar the Omar, Ede Mesira Karsi. The witnesses that see the handing over of the divorce document, Karsi, they are responsible, cause the divorce, cause the break to take place. What does that do for us in terms of the sheet of the Chachamim? The answer is simple. As we explained before, the witnesses who see the handing over of the document will read its contents, and if any subsequent tampering takes place, we'll be able to ask them what was really written there. We look together at the Rashi on the top line. Rebbe Elazar Higyomar, Chasimas Haget Eino Minatora, Velo Sagi Lemesve Belo Ede Mesira. The opinion of the Tana, Rebbe Elazar, is that the signing of the get is not a Torah expectation. What is a binding factor, according to Rebbe Elazar the Tana, is the giving over of the get in front of witnesses that see it given over. The inuhu the avdi krisis. They are the ones that are responsible for the break, the legal break in this couple. The al korchach bo'inon edim. We certainly need witnesses. The alfinon erva dover dover mimamon. There's a word comparison where the word dover appears in the topic of moral issues, morality, intimacy, and the realm of financial concern, mamon, where two witnesses are required. Vilkoch lo chayshinon l'dilma mezaifa. Since we're going to follow Rebbe Elazar's opinion, we're not going to worry about the possibility of tampering. We say that when you have Eide Mesira, they have to read the contents. And if there is any condition in the get, they'll know about it. And therefore, if later on the woman produces a get without any conditions, they'll be able to testify, hey, this was tampered with. And therefore, even if by looking at the paper, the parchment, you won't notice the tampering, they will be able to reveal it. Uman d'omar ede mesira yikur habali nase. According to the opinion, it says that the mainstay of a get are the witnesses that see the handing over of it. A woman who comes to remarry, tzrich lohavi edim shenim sa lifneim, she'll have to bring the witnesses that saw the get being given to her so as to establish that she is really now a divorced woman ready to remarry. Avol Rabbi Meir, Diomar, lo bo'inon ede mesira. According to Rabbi Meir, says that those witnesses are not necessary. What does Rabbi Meir require? Witnesses that sign the document. Ika lemechash, there is room for suspicion. Lezufa, demand the somech haedei chasima, the one who relies on the signers of the get as making it into an effective get. Isha boli noseh beget, a woman who comes to remarry based on her having been divorced with this get, eino mevia lefonenu edim hachasumin bo im yesh makir mechasimosim. She's not going to need to bring the witnesses that are signed in the get if there are others that could verify their signatures. V'im yesh tana v'ziaftei leko diyoda. And if there happened to have been a condition in the get, the ones that verify the signatures aren't going to know about that. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, we'd say it's usur to write on material that's possible to mezayif, to tamper with, and be and not to be discovered. So this approach then of the Amora of Rebbe Elazar is to suggest that our mission is in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Elazar, that Edei Mesira Karsi. And therefore, we're not so concerned if the material on which the get is written lends itself to tampering. The witnesses that see the handing over of the get will have read it and be able to tell us whether or not there were conditions. V'yomar Rebbe Elazar, lo hichshir Rebbe Elazar, elo le'alter. Another qualification, or I should say a qualification of Rebbe Elazar, that you can rely on the Edei Mesira, that's only if she brings the get immediately after she received it to show it to Beis Din, show it to the court. Avamikan vi'ad asora yomim lo. But to allow 10 days to pass, that no. Why not? Chayshino dil mohava bay tana. There's a possibility that there had been a condition in the get, and the witnesses that upon whom we were relying to reveal that information, to tell us about that, they will have forgotten the ziyafte. And in the interim, there was tampering. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar, who does allow material that lends itself to be tampered with, that's only if the woman appears immediately in court after she receives it, at which point she's going to bring the witnesses that saw it handed to her, who will, at that with that short gap of time between her receiving it and appearing in Beis Din, they will testify as to whether or not there was any condition written into the get. However, as we said, if there's a long gap in time between her receiving it, albeit based on Edei Mesira, but they will have forgotten if there were any conditions in it. And therefore, the Tana Rebbe Elazar's leniency of allowing a get to be written on Diftara would be only if the woman appears to in Beis Din to remarry very shortly after receiving the get. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Afilu Mikan Dal Asor Yomim. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the Amora Rebbe Elazar and says that we can allow even a 10-day gap, the Isa the Havei Beit Tanoi, if there happen to have been any conditions in the get. Midkar Dikiri. Rabbi Yochanan is much more, let's say, benevolent to the memory power of witnesses and says they will remember. And therefore, the heter, according to the Tana Rebbe Elazar, of using Diftara is so much so that even if she doesn't appear in court to remarry until after a long time, we can rely on whatever the Edei Mesira will tell us, namely that which they had read when she received the get. The Omar Rebbe Elazar, Lo Hichshir Rebbe Elazar, Elo Begitin. This a leniency of Ksav Al Gabi Dover Shiochel is Dayef. So the Amora Rebbe Elazar says that Rebbe Elazar allows that only with regard to divorce documents. Avol bishar shtoros lo. But with regard to other kinds of contractual documentation, there he is not going. The Tana Rebbe Elazar will not be lenient. Let's point out the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi, that you'll find the end of the narrow lines. Avol b'shtoros, dekaimi l'gevina, documents that are instruments of collection. Debts owed to you. You use the document in order to prove that so-and-so owes you X amount of money. So they're kaimi l'gevina. They're there for collection purposes. V'dilmo lo mapik le'ad zman oroch. Could be that he'll produce this document only after a long time since it was written. Vishu Edei Mesira Sadovar, and the Edei Mesira will have forgotten what was in it. V'samchino ne'ede chasima, and we'll be relying then on the witnesses that signed into it. V'hu mizayif ksav elyon v'choisim v'choisim ne'ede mo'im ibikomo. He could conceivably erase the contents of the document above and rely on the fact that the witnesses has already signed it and write in above whatever he wants. So therefore, with regard to shtari gevaina, which people will bring out, will produce only a long time after they received it, there, even Rebbe Lozer will concede, you can't have shtore gviya, bills of collection, written on tamperable material. Right? And the Gemara goes on to say, Dichtiv v'nasatem b'kli cheres l'man yamdu yomim rabim. This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk is dealing with purchase of land. So it's called Shar Shtoros, and the prophet says you shall take these documents and put them in clay vessels so that they last a long time. How does that tie into our discussion? So Rashi says, Yomim Rabim Almo Buina Dovah Roy Lamu Liskayim. You need, in order for it to be an acceptable shtar, an acceptable document, you need something that's long lasting. This particular pasuk is referring to shtare mecher. So, with all of that explained, and we learned the Rashi together, Eidei Mesira will not be sufficient for shtare guvaina. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar the Tana will concede that with regard to Shar Shoros, it has to be written on material that will not be tamperable. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan, Omar Afilu B'Shtoros, the heter of writing on parchment that can be tampered with, that heter, that allowance, goes even with regard to other documents. But doesn't the pasuk say that with regard to other kinds of documents, it has to be something that will have long lasting? And by saying long lasting, we're taking into consideration that the Eidei Mesira won't be around. So I'm going to be relying on that which is written in the document. And if I'm going to be relying on that, it had better be something that cannot be tampered with. So the question is, how can Rabbi Yochanan say that the leniency of writing on tamperable material extends even to shtoros? The Gemara answers, Hosam Eitza Toivo Kamash Malon. The pasuk that was cited by Yirmiyah, that from the book of Yirmiyah, Nesatim Kecheres Man Yamdu Yomim Rabim, is a piece of good advice. But it's not a statement of, let's say, letter of the law. And why is that? Because Rabbi Yochanan says that as far as the letter of the law is concerned, it could be, it's okay to have Shar Shtoros written on something sheyochol l'hizdayef. And as far as who's going to be able to testify about that, so we'll rely on, Rabbi Yochanan would rely on the Eidei Mesira. As far as the pasuk is concerned, that it should be a long-lasting type of document, that's a piece of good advice, but not more than that. Elsewhere, the Gemara expands on this issue of what's the Eitzah Tova with regard to this pasuk. The Mishnah, Hakol Sherin Luchtoiv Esaget. Everyone is fit for writing a divorce document. Afilu Cheresh Shoita V'Kotten. Even a deaf mute, an imbecile, or a minor. Ha'isha Kaseves is Gita. A woman could conceivably write her own divorce document. She'll then makne it to her husband, transfer ownership of it to her husband, and then he would give it to her, and that would be the divorce. And in a similar vein, in an opposite direction, Voish Kosev Shovro, a man can write the receipt, that ultimately a woman who receives her ksuba payment would give him, the husband, a receipt. Here the Mishnah is telling us that the man can write up the receipt. She'ein kiyum haget elo b'choismov. That expression will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Before we conclude today's shiur, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.